verses left in this book. I was expecting to finish this today. In fact, we probably will be finished with this today because pretty much the ending of it is verse 8, chapter 4. Verse 8. I don't think I'm that far. Yeah. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, so it's a pretty great section to unpack here. So Paul says, Paul goes on and he lists this list. And I like to think of this list as the good stuff. He tells us what the good stuff is, but he's being very generic about it. What exactly is he referring to in this list? Either one. Has a dual meaning, and that's and what you talked about is one of those. There's a lot of junk in life. do you remember what I talked about last week? Was anybody not here last week? You weren't here last week. Okay, so last week I talked about about time and. Some of the things I pointed out are how much we wasted. And do you guys remember how long I would say that most people, the average American, spends in worship? Or not even worship, but in focusing on spiritual matters? Yeah. It's 9 minutes a day. And so if you live to the age of 78... which is the average, you will spend 178 total days in your life focusing on those spiritual things. I'm going to guess if you're here right now, you're already dedicating more time than that. Because 9 minutes a day is 63. Minutes a week, and so if you were here right now, you're probably spending at least 2 hours a week focusing on spiritual things. So good for you. You're already more than double. I think the spiritual component is a huge part of what Paul is talking about here. It's when you read Corinthians, Paul has this little section about why he talks about it's better not to be married. And the thing that he lists was because when you're married, there are things you have to focus on as marriage. You have to focus on your significant other. You have to focus on your children. You have to focus on finances, providing for all that. And so, are all these things bad? No, none of them are bad. And so Paul's not calling them bad. He's just telling them that's where the focus is. He's saying this is why it's better for you not to be married, because then it's easier for you to focus on God. Well, here I slightly disagree with Paul. Just because we not necessarily have those things in our life doesn't necessarily mean we are going to focus on God. Go ahead, Kay. I know you want to say something. Exactly. Like yesterday, this is what I did yesterday. I got up, I started laundry, I took my kid to a soccer game, I went and did one of my projects, I went home, did more laundry, cleaned house, and I watched, and while I was folding laundry and doing laundry, me and my wife watched like 10 episodes of this show, which is really funny. And I don't think I thought about anything spiritual at all. And now that I'm talking about it, saying this, I'm wondering, did I waste yesterday? No. I took care of my family. I took care of things that had to be taken care of. I didn't have to watch TV. But that's sometimes what life is. There's those things in life you have to do. But there are the things in life you don't have to do that you do anyway. Or even, like, Paul takes it a step further here. He says, he's not even talking about that stuff. He talks about the commendable and pure things. So I've also been following the Supreme Court nomination thing. And I'm not going to talk about that particular incident, but a lot of things, I've been reading a lot of hate coming into this. And so sometimes I'll read it and I'll be like, why am I wasting my time on this? Because it's not really, that's not something commendable. It doesn't help me at all. It doesn't serve my purpose. I mean, it keeps me informed about the political process. But other than that, I would say that could be a waste of time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how do you guys, how would you say you waste your time? Not something that you have to, I understand there are things you have to do, but what are some things that you don't have to do that you would say this could be a waste of time? Yeah, I just some generic things. Computer? A lot of time on the internet. Rachel and I play spades. You should play spades with us. Only if you want to. We're very good. Okay. Oh, someone else talked about that, didn't they? Someone in the Bible? Yeah. George, do you play? Good. Yeah.
know.
Yeah, now, don't get me wrong. There, I think sometimes it is necessary for you to waste time. I don't think it's necessary for you to waste time all the time. But people need whatever it is they need to recharge. As long as it's not something terrible. I don't mind that people play games. I don't mind that they run around or whatever your hobby is. I know you guys craft. You and your mom craft. My wife likes to do DIY stuff. And to me, none of that is inherently bad. It's is it taking over your life? Or is it getting in the way of God's time? That's when I think it becomes bad. Go ahead, Kathy. Oh, I wasn't happy about it. And there are times where those things do overlap. Like what you ladies are doing this week. That's going to be a time where those two, where God and fun overlap. God doesn't necessarily have to be boring. That's what I told Philip that a few times already. Where's Chill Hallie?
Chilly.
Oh, Chillily. Okay. Okay. The other thing I think that this particular verse is specifically talking about focusing on Jesus. Everything ties back into that first section of chapter 2, that verses 5 through 11, the humility of Christ. And so I think when Paul's writing about this, he's also in a roundabout way also telling them to remember to focus on Jesus. So I don't really have anything else to add there, unless you guys do. Verse 9, he talks about whatever you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. So Paul holds himself up as an authority to these things. So that means that leaders, I see at least two of you in here, you are expected to kind of be moral pillars here as well, or maybe as leaders of your families, or your social groups, or your workplaces, practice what you preach kind of thing going on here. You don't look happy about that, Mark. No, you're fine with that. Yes. That's a... Yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
If there is any virtue and if there is any praise,
ever watched that show? House? Do you know what House's number one rule is? Everybody lies. That's House's number one rule. Everybody lies. You don't. When police investigate things, they always look for means, motive, and opportunity. I think motive is the least relevant. Because it doesn't necessarily tell you. You'll never know. You'll never ever truly know that answer. Do you lie, Mark?
Am I lying?
Yes, I have. Yes. Cassie too?
Do I lie?
Yeah. Okay. I told Ryan. So it's been a very early morning for me. Thank you. I think that it is implied that the time you spend with God should be more than the time that we spend with God. Go ahead, Cassie. We practically lie for three reasons, and most of it is deceit. But we could lie to spare feelings, or we could lie to avoid a subject, like you just said. And I have some opinions about that, but I think that's for another time. Actually, this might be a good subject to preach about. Go ahead, Molly.
Perhaps I am somewhat
It must be the academic in you.
But each one who has had a child knows that every child learns very quickly to lie.
Mm-hmm.
And they will. People have to learn that deceit for the wrong purpose. And we've already talked about those little tiny deceits where you might avoid pointing out something negative because you want to hear someone's feelings. Those are not big issues at all. I might say, gosh, I like your tie, John Paul.
Well,
I'm
thank
thinking,
you.
Why don't you get a haircut? That might be.
I actually need a haircut. That's probably why you said that. There's a very interesting movie called The Invention of Lying. I think it gives an interesting perspective to what it would be like if you couldn't lie. The only thing I don't like about the movie, it implies that all religion is basically a lie, but other than that, it's pretty good. go ahead, Donna. Oh, did someone else have their hand? Okay. Alright, moving along. Verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly now at length you have received your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in what situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, which when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving concern and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica. Yes. You sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Eudaios the gift that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Okay, so Paul, he basically closes this section telling them how awesome they are. I think this is one of the reasons I really appreciate this letter, is because despite their differences, Paul has a lot of hope for this church. He spends more time praising them in this letter than he does rebuking them. And even the rebuke is just a gentle reminder to go back to their roots. In fact, he kind of implies that here in the end, he talks about their roots. You were great in the beginning, and I want you to go back and think about that time. And he talks about how that he personally is grateful for him. I think this is a good way to talk to others, especially if you have to give a critique. Sometimes critique is necessary, but it needs to be done in love, and by heaping other praises on it, it kind of softens the blow. I think Mr. Carnegie would agree, don't you, Mark? And this is pretty much it. Does anybody have anything else to add here? All right. I was thinking of doing Hebrews next. Does anybody have any strong opinion about that? Does anybody have any request for what we could do next time? Great, we're doing Hebrews. You forever hold your peace. Let's go ahead and close out in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for